We took it to film festivals before the BBC as well, and it won international film awards. So we knew it was good. It was just about convincing a TV channel to take a chance on a new talent or whatever. And afterwards, I thought, okay, that's my stepping stone. Now I'm going to have a career at the BBC. So it doesn't matter that we've lost money and whatever. And then it was a case of meeting after meeting. Well, one meeting with the BBC, with BBC Three's team, where they looked at me like I was dirt. And then many, many other meetings with production companies around the UK, and emails with ones in the US, or Zoom calls with US production companies, where I was told in no uncertain terms that because I was a white man, it was impossible. And I would have to give them my ideas, but act as though they weren't my ideas and go off screen so that a minority can go on screen and sort of claim it as a journalist.
But your surname, I'm inferring you're Jewish. Jewish.
Yes, surname. I'm a Jew.
Did you not say, well, look, I'm a minority. I'm half Middle Eastern genetically.
Well,
why should you have to say, it's absurd, oh, I'm Jewish, on that basis, let me be the host of something, any more than I should have to say, I have mild cerebral palsy, which I do, so let me be the host of something. It's ludicrous. It should be based on the talent and based on the content and how good it is. I mean, it's obviously absurd.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, you're absolutely right. And for me, I hadn't entered into the whole, I mean, we're talking 6 years ago when this started for me. So I didn't know too much about the whole culture wars and woke culture and this and that. I was looking at all sorts of other weird, different things, religions and fundamentalist, authoritarian high control groups. I wasn't looking into the culture wars as such. So this was all a bit new to me, but I felt, okay, so one thing I'd say is that, like, throughout my life being Jewish, even now, people say horrible things because they say horrible things to everyone. Everybody gets some people saying horrible things to you in their lives, and that's part of making us stronger. But, you know, of course, even now there's loads of things, oh, you Jew, why should we listen to you, that kind of thing on YouTube comments and whatever, and it hurts a bit, but you get on with it. Nothing was quite as painful as having to sit in an office with production companies acting for the BBC or selling to the BBC and have to say, hey, but I'm a Jew. I hated myself for having to say that, and then being told, because you're a white man, and that's a whole other debate about whether Jews are white or not. It seems to be dependent on who's speaking, really, or who's angry at you. I got told the other day, again from YouTube commenters after interviewing Carl Benjamin, like, why, you know, again, why should we listen to you? You're a Jew, you're not white, you don't speak for us. But then you get told by the woke left that, oh, you're a white man, you're super white, so you have all the advantages of being white. You sort of can't win. But to me, the Jewish bit, and I know that I've had this debate with David Baddiel, who's a prominent Jewish comedian in the UK, who believes that it's incredibly relevant that I'm Jewish. To me, it wasn't and isn't. To me, the point here is I'm a white guy and I made a really good thing. It was the best thing I've ever done. And they were saying, hey, but you have to go off because of your skin color. And that was very upsetting.
And I similarly had a chap on who I've interviewed called Nick Dixon, a comedian. And and he was similarly told, you know, look, we basically have quotas in comedy nights or whatever. So you have to have a woman, and you have to have a non-white, even if the woman and the non-white aren't funny. You just have to have them, because that's the rules of political correctness and this whole grievance hierarchy and this need to look good by promoting people that are perceived as marginalised and all this sort of thing. And of course, it's done at the expense of talent. It's done at the expense of quality content. It's done at the expense, in the case of comedy, of just being funny. And and the counter argument with comedians, oh, well, you know, look, there are these comedians that struggle through, even though they're white and male, fine, they're brilliant, fine. But the comedians that don't get through are still probably funnier than the ones that are put there just because they tick certain boxes in terms of wokeness. So it's absolutely appalling situation. So what did you, so basically you've been told, no, white man, private school?
Yes.
Oh, well, and that's your fault. and so how dare you just go to the school your parents sent you to? Well, I didn't go to private school, but chipping my shoulder very big about that. So you got that, and so what was your next step?
The next step, well, was, I mean, it was a hard one because I had this kind of belief that I think a lot of people in our business have, which is, well, I'll make it anyway, somehow, somewhere, whatever. But for about 6 or 7 years, I was pretty stagnant because I got maybe caught in a loop of, eventually a production company will not have this idea. Eventually they will take a risk on somebody who is a young white man. One of the things, I mean, I can hear people, if anyone is out of their sort of comfort zone and listening to this, who maybe is part of that woke thing, I can almost imagine them screaming now, but there are so many white people on TV. And I think, as you say, what they fail to grasp is the number who weren't allowed on, and also how many of those white men are from a different generation to mine, when things were a little bit different. I mean, if you think of the white men on British TV, you think of Louis Theroux, Clarkson, you think of the Dimblebees, you think of all of these sort of people who are very, very talented, but from a different generation. There really are not many.
Before the nonsense started. So this guy I told you about, Nick Dixon, he was condemned for saying, "Oh, I didn't get a comedy contract or whatever it was," by Richard Herring. But Richard Herring is born in the late 60s. He was from a generation where there wasn't any of this problem. You got on who you knew, obviously, but also that aside, because you were talented. You weren't pushed to the front of the queue in the early 90s when this Leon Herring or whatever, because you were black or because you were a woman or because you were disabled or whatever it happens to be. So it's
I would add that there's nothing more frustrating to those of us who aren't able, who have these gatekeepers, than the ones who are already in smugly criticizing, you know, the Richard Herrings of this world, those who have their nice pretty jobs, not being brave enough to come out and talk. I understand that's one thing, because they don't want to put their job, their career in jeopardy, but actually coming out and speaking out against people who haven't been able to have the same fortune by being born in the same time as them, I think is not just cowardly, but smug. And it allows them to think of themselves as well as like, well, hey, I'm so talented as Richard Herring that I made it despite all of this. Why can't you just do that, without recognizing that things have changed? And you can view something called the Diamond Diversity Report, which is the official report the BBC uses, Channel 4 uses it, which will show you over the years the changing faces of faces, I suppose, on TV over the years. And you can see that white men are significantly underrepresented. Now, another thing is that people have a difficulty with numbers. So they say, yes, but there are still many more white faces on TV. And you go, yes, but not compared to the percentage of white people in the population. So for example, people of color, as they say now, are more than doubly overrepresented on British TV across the channels at the moment. And all we're hearing is a drive to increase that and improve that number. They seem to want 50% of people on our TV to be BAME or what is that? I can't even remember now.
It was Black, Asian, minority ethnic.
Yeah, it seems that 50% is what is wanted, at least.
And how can it be when they make up 100% of the population? I mean, it's quite extraordinary. And in black people make up about 4% of the UK population. They're 37% of people in commercials, I read, according to some research. It's quite amazing. And also, that report you mentioned, I'm familiar with that. And it's interesting that the dynamics of it. So, we need to get more women in positions of what? You said earlier it was a woman commissioner. Yes, my understanding is a lot of the commissioners are women. They're overrepresented among be overrepresented among people that commission TV programs. And so then once they've overrepresented them there, they need to, but in this area they're underrepresented. They're underrepresented among the people that are actually on stage, you know, I don't know, doing nature documentaries or whatever. And so we go for this. And eventually you just have no white males at all.
Unfortunately, I think this is partly a result. I mean, partly it's this whole woke culture, this madness that's taken over our society, Western society. I think partly as well, what really incentivizes us more than almost anything, I mean, almost as much as ideology, maybe more, is money. And once somebody has a job and their job is diversity, equity, or diversity and inclusion, or whatever it might be, if that's your job title, you need to constantly be finding other ways to start manipulating society, because otherwise, how are you going to stay in a job?
Exactly. I mean, you've done it. I mean, for example, there's a problem with members of parliament. So women are now fairly represented in parliament, and ethnic minorities are now fairly represented in parliament in accordance with their percentage of the population. So that's it now. It's done. And we have an ethnic minority prime minister, for God's sake.
Yeah, Scottish.
So surely it's time to say, and Welsh, it's time to say, that's it, done. But no, you always have to find some new way, because it's a way of making money. It's a grift, and they know that. So anyway, so then you've moving on. So this avenue being closed to you, you then moved into the old area of alternative media.
Yeah, it's the only thing you can do, and I do get frustrated sometimes. And I think a lot of
Are you ready for the future of the West?